instead of looking at optimizing the 96% bounce rate, how about we flip it and start thinking about what did the 4% or the 4% of the people do? Can we get more of those people? Because if we get more of those people coming to our page, well, that bounce rate is going to go down by default.
Welcome back to another Expert Spotlight brought to you by The Vault, where ambitious entrepreneurs escape the grind and scale their businesses to unprecedented freedom and profit by popular demand. I am excited to bring to you Mikhail from Funnelytics. I was just telling him that I have, since his last episode, I have been using your tips to much success. So thank you so much for that.
Yeah, my pleasure. I'm hopefully we'll bring some other really cool tips today as well.
Yes. So let's just dive right in. What do you think that business owners and marketers need to know to move the needle here?
Yeah, I think we talked about this just before, and I think one of the biggest misconceptions or things that people forget to think about or maybe get overwhelmed by is data and understanding what metrics really matter versus the ones that are more vanity metrics. And it's very easy to put on a spreadsheet and keep track of, but don't really help you make any sort of decisions. And the first thing that I think people need to grasp is it's very easy to think about clicks and cost per click or average order values and revenue and impressions and all that stuff. But when you really want to measure the success of your marketing, you need to tie it back to people. Who is the person that is coming to your site and what are they doing, right? The best way to start thinking about metrics is don't look at raw numbers, look at individual people and what they are doing. So if your tracking doesn't actually look at those individual people, then you're just going to be flooded with a whole lot of data. It's a big reason why Google Analytics went from tracking sessions and page views to then tracking individual people and their timeline of everything that they do. Why is that really important? Well, it's because if I can look at a person and I can see a timeline of all of their activity, the pages that they visited, the traffic sources that they came from, the videos that they watched, the actions that they took, then I can answer really any question about what drives people to buy. Well, they read this blog post and they also watch this video, etc. So if I can then not just have one person, but start looking at a group of people, now all of a sudden I can start to see trends based on the questions that I have. So I think that's the very first fundamental thing is we need to look at the individual people. Then what I love to, I kind of call it the PAP method, P-A-P. And basically what I love to look at is there's the people, then there's all of the actions that they take, basically all the things that fall into their timeline. And then what we want to look at, the last P, is the path that drives them to the core action that we want to take. So if you look at one individual person's timeline, you'll see, okay, linearly, this is everything they did, and then eventually they made a purchase. However, if I take a group of 10 people, well, they're not going to have all the exact same path in order to make that purchase. So can I visualize and see what is the path that drove the majority of those people towards that purchase? And if I can see those things, all of a sudden I can answer any question about my business. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. The next thing that goes through my head too is how overwhelming that could be, because even if you're kind of a smallish, medium-sized company, like just the amount of sheer traffic and individuals to track mm-hmm. every week even can be overwhelming.
Yeah, and this goes back to something that you and I spoke about in the last session, which was, you kind of want to work backwards, right? Well, I don't care about everyone. I care about the people who did the action that I care about. So if your goal is to, optimize or get more form submissions on your website, then who cares about all the people who did not fill out the form, right? Like I don't care about that group of people. I want to understand and isolate just the people who filled out the form. What did they do? What was the path that they took? What were the actions that they took? Can I see any sort of trends or any sort of patterns that help me understand, well, maybe the first traffic source they came from for the vast majority of them was Facebook, but none of them converted right from Facebook. Maybe they then, I don't know, clicked a Google ad as part of it. And I can retrace that journey from that specific set of customers. So I want to work backwards from the main conversion point that I care about and isolate those people, not look forwards where it's like, man, I've gotten 20,000 people coming to this page. Well, there's only 200 that made it to the end. What did those 200 do? Not what are the 20,000 doing? Too many times we sit there and we're like, oh, well, this page has a 96% bounce rate. And, you know, the videos are only, you know, only 5% are watching it till the end. It's like, okay, but instead of looking at optimizing the 96% bounce rate, how about we flip it and start thinking about what did the 4% or the, you know, the 4% of the people do? Can we get more of those people? Because if we get more of those people coming to our page, well, that bounce rate is going to go down by default. Instead of about looking optimizing the page,
optimizing the 96% bounce rate through the door.
How about we flip it and start thinking about
what's the minimum number of people you would want to start to make decisions? Because some of us just started, we got like two people who went on there today.
Well, that bounce rate is going to go down by default. You have to have at very minimum 200. That's the number I like to look at. 100 is like when you can basically say, you know, a conversion rate is, you know, divided by 100. So I can see, okay, well, there's 100 people, one person went through, that's, you know, 1%. But that is a little bit skewed, right? It's very easy. Anything below 100, you know, I can have an extra person, all of a sudden changes my conversions and everything changes. Once I get kind of 200, now I can start to see, okay, the next 200 are probably going to be very similar, or they're going to behave very similar. So I'm always looking for a minimum of 200. And this is where a lot of small businesses make a mistake. They think something isn't working, but they haven't spent enough money to really validate whether it's working or not. And you get scared, right? A lot of times you're like, oh, well, man, let's put a budget of $500 a month. It's like, okay, that's fine. But if it costs you a dollar to get somebody to your site, then that $500 over the course of a month sent 500 people on that page. Maybe only X amount go through to the next step and only 20 get to the very last step. It's like, so you spent $500, but you don't have enough data on the back end to understand whether it really worked, right? So, but then people get nervous because I already spent $500 and it's been a month. So, you know, they spend $1,000 and over 3 months, they've only spent $3,000. They haven't sent enough traffic throughout that. And then they get nervous. It's been 3 months. We haven't received anything. It's like, yeah, but when you look at the numbers, there's just not enough people who've gone through this to say that this is working or not working, right? So one of the easiest things you can do to solve that is spend more. It's scary for people, but ultimately you need data to make decisions, and you need to drive traffic to make those decisions.
Yeah. So, and I know you do really well with examples. So and one thing I found whenever I speak with you or you're showing me how to do stuff in Funnelytics is you know the best questions to ask to get the best answers so that we can move the needle. So I thought, like, I'll give you an example of a funnel that I'm working on. And if you could let us know, like, what are the questions that you would ask of the data that we have here? So it is opt-in to a, and then the next page is a VSL page. Order form, and then the thank you page, and they go into the community. And the what we're selling is a $27 product.
Okay. So what's your question?
And the question, see, there you go. That's good. So not getting enough sales, basically. So as a business owner looking at this, we're like going, okay, we're not getting enough sales. There's a million different levers that we can pull here, right? So what are the, and it's just assume that we're measuring everything in Funnelytics. What questions do I need to ask to try and get my head around what am I, like, what do we do next?
Okay. So, okay. There's a couple thoughts here. So number one, not getting enough sales is a bit of a arbitrary or broad question. What does that mean exactly? Are we talking about we're trying to hit a specific volume of sales per week? What does our target really look like? Right. And then again, I would work backwards, because if the sale happens at the very end, so if somebody goes to a landing page, they have to opt in. Then they, when they opt in, they see a video sales letter. That video sales letter sends somebody to an order form, and then they go and purchase a $27 product. When we say we haven't had enough sales, well, how many sales have we had, right? Are we seeing sales? Are people actually getting all the way to the thank you page? If the answer is no, then we have to take a step back to understand, well, where are they bottling? Where is it not working, right? And going back to that thought process of, in order for me to be able to make a concrete decision, I should see at least 200 people. So did I get 200 people to my checkout page and zero people bought? If so, that's a problem, right? We should probably look at why that is happening and work backwards from there. And similarly, if nobody gets to my checkout page, but I've got, you know, over 200 people to my VSL, well, then I need to look at the VSL, because there's a bottleneck happening as people move down that journey. So going back to what you just said, let's quantify it. When you say not getting enough sales, what are we trying to do? How many sales are we trying to generate?
Right. So right now it is converting at 3%. And the opt-in page, the order from people hitting the VSL page and buying, and the opt-in page is converting at 18%. People hitting the first page and putting in their email address. And this is why I love, like, you saying, what's a better question? So I think the better response to that is, yes, people have, so obviously people are buying. Number one, we're trying to decrease the cost per acquisition. In my mind, I'm thinking we need to improve the conversion rate of people when they go from the VSL and then they buy something. But you're making me doubt myself, so maybe not.
So those are good. Those are conversion rates. But let's talk about volume. How many people are buying per week right now?
About four.
Four people per week are buying, and we want to. What is our target? How many do we want to sell?
Well, okay. Let's just say we want to double that.
So the challenge that, because we're getting 3% to buy, and we're getting 18% to opt in, mm-hmm. can we double the spend and keep hitting the
track? No, because the CPA is too high. So this is interesting, right? Because we've kind of got two goals, right? So we want to make more sales, but then we also want to decrease the cost per acquisition.
Okay, so really that's one goal first, mm-hmm. because we could double the sales and increase.
Sure, just by
increasing, and we could also increase the average order value by changing the price or adding a bump or an upsell or something like that. Mm-hmm. But our number one goal is, first, we need to make sure that our cost per acquisition matches or breaks even or hits a specific ratio to that. So mm-hmm. by asking that question, now it changes things, right? Now it's not about, I want to make 8 sales. It's before I make 8 sales, I need to make sure that we break even across the funnel. Okay, so now we can kind of work backwards and say, well, if 4 people bought, you said a 3% conversion rate. Mm-hmm. So if I take 4 and I divide that by 0.03, that means that 130 people are going to that VSL per week, right? Mm-hmm. So that means I really need 2 weeks worth of data at this stage to really understand and get to that conclusion that it's 3%. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now you want to start looking backwards. Is that the best bottleneck? Is the 3% acceptable, or is the 18% the bottleneck, right? Which one will have the easiest, simplest uplift? And we can ask ourselves that question. And you can look at your opt-in page, you can look at your VSL and your sales page, and start formulating a couple hypotheses around, well, if I change this and this and this, I believe that I can get, you know, I can increase this conversion rate from, let's say, from 3% to 5%. Okay, well, the same volume of traffic, 133, if I multiply that by 0.05, I get 6 sales. So I'm not quite there yet, but what about the 18%? Can I get that to 20, 25% by, because then all of a sudden I just get more people to the VSL and it's still going to convert at that same rate, right? So you just kind of want to keep working backwards. For me, the problem with the VSL is that I need a lot more traffic, and I've got to, with the spend, I've got to wait 2 weeks in order for me to justify whether or not my changes have made any sort of improvement. And whenever you run a split test, you got to remember that the traffic is split, and therefore I'm actually going to need 4 weeks in order for me to, because now it's not 130 people going to that page every week. It's actually 70 on this side and 70 on this side, which means I need to run this for 4 weeks in order for me to justify that my new, that's too much time, right? That's just going to waste time. And so that to me is not where I should spend my time. I should spend my time on the step before. Why? Because I can iterate that step much, much faster to see if I can get more volume through the funnel. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
There's other ways too to think about this. There's also, okay, well, we get 4 sales a week. Can we, you know, is the challenge that it's our cost per acquisition is too high, or is the challenge that we just aren't making enough money from every customer? Could we add something on the back end to go from $27 to $47 as an average order value, which would maybe bring that gap between our cost per acquisition to closer to break even, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But again, now you're sitting here and you're like, well, we only get 4 sales a week. It's going to take a while for us to understand, is the average order value growing,
right?
So just always work backwards based on those numbers. And now you can say, okay, opt-in is where I'm going to focus.
Right. So how does, I know you didn't come here necessarily talk about Funnelytics, but I know that Funnelytics does track all of this, what you said, right? It tracks the whole journey. So, you know, once I know the questions, because those are really good questions that you said to ask, how would Funnelytics help me figure out the answer here?
Yeah. So the easiest way is, first of all, you track it and you visualize it on the canvas, when you can actually see the numbers and see, okay, well, this is how many people came from these ads to this page. This is the conversion rate to this page, so on and so forth. I can see the conversion rates across the board. The easiest way is to use our forecasting feature. So with the forecasting feature, I can just basically say, I can compare my real data to a forecast, and I can go and say, if I increase this, if everything stays the same and I increase this from 3% to 6%, what happens, right? If I increase the 18% to 25%, what happens? And this will help me kind of run various scenarios to see which one actually makes the most sense. And with Funnelytics, when I extend kind of the timeline, I can say, okay, well, if I increase this from 3% to 6%, and I run this for the next 6 months, here's the uplift that I get. Versus if I keep this at 3%, but increase the 18 to, you know, let's say we're increasing it by 3%, 18 to 21. Now here's what that looks like. And that just helps you better understand what is my best focus, right? And if I can just kind of keep that mindset, I can start to make decisions.
Yeah. And that's really powerful, right? Because like as CEOs, like we're always trying to predict the future. And so if you can model stuff out, then you can give it to your team and say, here's where I think we should probably focus on, because you've already modeled it out inside of there, right?
Exactly. Right. And it just allows you to stay hyper-focused. I think another thing that people, as marketers, and I know, you know, people listening to this are more business owners, but even business owners, like, founders, we're idea generators. We come up with a lot of ideas. We're creative, it's easy for us to look at a whiteboard and come up with like, we should do this, or we could try this, or we could do that. Marketing works, especially on the performance side. Performance marketing is really about being disciplined enough to stay hyper-focused on one thing and one thing only. Just making little tweaks every little time, and all of a sudden, the machine works. But as marketers, especially creative marketers, it's very easy to be like, let's throw this up there. We start running it and start testing, but now our brains are already thinking about the next thing. Let's think about the next launch and the next campaign and this next thing. And we forget that this thing that we launch and it shows a little traction, instead of doubling down on just iterating it, and all of a sudden the machine works, we're just throwing new ideas against the board, hoping that one just takes off and goes viral, right? And
right.
That's a discipline that, you know, I've had to learn, and most marketers need to learn as well.
Yeah, for sure. Well, this is, you know, as always, you bring such like just power-packed, you know, tips that I think it may sound simple, but I know because I do whatever you say. So I'm like, after this, I'm just going to go back and go into my data now and come up with better questions and kind of figure that out, that it really does move the needle. So thank you so much for bringing this here. If people want to learn more about you and Funnelytics, where should they go?
Yeah, if you want me, then go to LinkedIn. That's where I kind of post most of my content and stuff. And Funnelytics, just head to funnelytics.io.
Okay, awesome. By the way, quick tip, if you're on LinkedIn, go check them out now, because you've been doing some interesting tests with your profile picture. So
have you seen the latest one? Oh man.
No, not yet, but everybody go take a look now, because he's going to change it again, but it's definitely, you follow along. We'll leave it as a secret for them to kind of figure it out, but that's been really awesome. So I love that. Always testing. Well, thanks again. This has been an Expert Spotlight brought to you by The Vault, where entrepreneurs find clarity, scale faster, and achieve true business freedom. And we will see you next time.